Welcome to the Underground, the Steel City Underground, the black and gold standard for Pittsburgh Steelers coverage. Now, here's your host, Joe Kuzma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Steel City Underground podcast, brought to you in part by StubHub. Take a night off from nights in. Find great seats for amazing events near you. StubHub offers 100% guaranteed tickets, and you could see virtual views from your seats right over on StubHub's website. Find out more information at steelcityunderground.com/tickets. I am your host, Joe Kuzma, and I am a regular voice here on the Steel City Underground podcast. But for those of you returning listeners, we have a new voice today, actually a new member that has just joined the Steel City Underground team over the last couple of weeks. His name is Mitchell Reese. Mitch, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Joe. Just ready to talk some football and with a little bit of a twist to it. Couldn't we agree?
Yes, we did. We're going to talk about running backs today, and in doing so, we have to talk about pro wrestling, and this is a subject that myself and Mitch are both very well versed. So hopefully for those of you fans who put up with the hockey talk a little bit, there isn't so much football news per se that's going on, but there were a few topics that we will hit, particularly with the running back depth chart today. But we're going to start off with a gentleman who was a Pittsburgh Steeler for the last two seasons, currently a free agent. His name is D'Angelo Williams, and unless you were living under a rock inside a cave, you probably heard that D'Angelo Williams had a little thing going on over the holiday weekend, which, of course, I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday and you were safe as I instructed before. But if you got into trouble, then thank you. You're still here listening, so it couldn't have been too bad. But anyways, D'Angelo Williams makes his pro wrestling debut at Impact Wrestling Slammiversary event over the weekend. Slammiversary is to Impact Wrestling, and Impact is a name of a promotion. It was also known as TNA, maybe been around about a decade or so. They are a much smaller outfit than, say, WWE, but then again, so is everything. So think of it as like arena football to the NFL in terms of size and scope, but still a very big event for D'Angelo Williams to make a debut on. Not an easy thing whatsoever, and I thought he did a pretty good job, Mitch.
He didn't look too bad in his debut. And ironically enough, his debut was also his retirement. But nonetheless, if he could have been this athletic on the field and in the ring, he's already better than what Pac-Man Jones did when he did his little spiel in 2008. We already see better athletic traits in the ring from Williams than we did Pac-Man Jones. I personally liked it. It seemed like he flowed better in the ring. It seems like he showed more intent and will to move within the ring. It seemed like a really fun thing that he did there.
Yeah, he was pretty fluid. You could tell he's definitely an athlete. Not an easy thing to do, just to hop in the ring at 34 years of age. And then, lo and behold, we find out that he trained this wrestler. His name is now Moose, but he's a former NFL player. Quinn, I can't say his last name. It's Onajawa or something like that. But he trained like only 3 days, supposedly, which is quite, in my own mind and from my wrestling background, is quite dangerous. I mean, it should be more like 3 months. But he got away with it. He was in a tag match, looked very well, wasn't a whole lot asked of him, but what was asked of him looked very sharp, looked very competent, looked like a natural. But there were some people out there, I tend to say the clickbait, they're the headlines that want to get you to just click on the website and get the ad revenue and blah, 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 blah. Now, not to say we don't like you guys clicking on our links for Steel City Underground. We truly do appreciate it, but we're not pulling down any sort of major millions of dollars or anything, and we're certainly not going to try and intentionally write misleading headlines. I felt that one these headlines was very misleading, being a lifelong wrestling fan and having actually worked within the wrestling industry for many, many years myself. It said that D'Angelo Williams face-planted. Now, there was a move. It's a high-risk thing. You could picture a guy going to the top rope, and he's going to go and dive on somebody. Yes, that somebody was on laying on a table. I know, yuck, yuck for the people who say, oh, wrestling's fake. But, you know, the least fake thing about wrestling is wrestling itself. It actually is quite dangerous. Are the outcomes maybe already figured out before those guys hit the ring? Okay, sure, we know that. But it's not. Let me put it this way. If you're watching Matt Damon in the Jason Bourne movie, that's a lot more fake than what these guys are doing in the ring, and they don't get to rehearse it or do second takes. So D'Angelo Williams flies from the top rope. The table doesn't break, and people say he face-planted. Well, he actually kind of protected himself quite well for being a rookie, a guy that's never done this before. And I don't know. I felt that it was a little bit insulting to wrestling fans that people were saying that. And then another one I saw said something about D'Angelo's hilarious debut. I don't know. You feel the same way, Mitch?
Absolutely. I feel like he did just fine. If he truly trained for a three-day span, there's people doing this for 20s and 30s of years and still botch. Which in terms would be make a wrong move or end a move wrong. So in that regard, he botched, what, one move on 3 days of training? That's terrific.
I don't know
he
that
did a solid of like six or seven sequences. He really didn't do bad. He did rather excellent.
Yeah, I don't even know that you could qualify that as a botch. I mean, okay, the table didn't break and he skipped off of the guy, but I mean, he landed pretty squarely, like right on top of him. And unless you've actually been on that like top row, I mean, just think of it like, some of you out there, it's summer, it's warm outside, you're jumping into a pool, and it might sting a little bit when you go, just try this just once, just dive instead of landing with your butt in a cannonball. Just try and like plant out with your hands straight up and your legs straight back and let your chest and belly smack the water and see how that feels. I could guarantee you it's a lot higher, a lot more dangerous, and hurts a lot more than do what D'Angelo did, and then to skip off and have to protect your head and neck. People were saying he got a concussion and stuff off it. I'm like, oh, get out of here. But I mean, if you truly believe that, then I mean, I guess that's great, because part of the thing with wrestling is suspending your belief. But I wrote in an article about how this wasn't hilarious at all, and maybe people should take it a little bit more seriously. I get that there's people out there that are football fans. They love the blood and guts, the violence, and the realism of football. But the reality of it is, football is an entertainment product as well. You don't believe me? Just take a look at Carrie Underwood doing the openings for Sunday Night Football, the halftime shows, mm-hmm. the cheerleaders. They're relaxing the thing on celebrations now. It's an entertainment product as well. And these guys know each other. They played in high school and camps, and guys go from one team to the next team. They're legitimately not trying to kill each other. Are they playing hard? Are they playing physical? Sure, but it's just like if you pick up a basketball and play a game somewhere with a bunch of your friends and it's recreational, you're not trying to kill the other guy. You might be trying to win, but afterwards you might crack open a beer and you're gonna laugh and tell stories. It's no different with pro football than what it is with pro wrestling. It's an art form, and it's an improv type, I'm going to say art form again. I can't think of another word. Performance, if you want to say that. And I know that at some point they weren't willing to say that, but it's very much in the open now. And I say just give it its due. I don't understand why so many people, like I said, using the Jason Bourne analogy, they could point fingers at that. It's certainly not Matt Damon, but you believe it's Jason Bourne and you could get caught up into it. Just let D'Angelo be a wrestler. Like you said, Mitch, this was his debut. And now apparently he says now that that's a one and only thing as a tribute he did for his uncle who took him to WrestleMania and introduced him to pro wrestling, and that's how he became this big fanatic.
I truthfully couldn't agree more. I, to bounce off of what you said with your art form, I feel like this is almost a grace, if you will. Because it seems like when you see certain people get into that ring, you see just not only athletes, but you see people that just connect with each other on different styles and different aspects of their sport. It's almost like you're watching like a – this is a horrible analogy, but it's almost like you're watching someone dance with someone.
It's fair. It's fair. It takes two to tango at least with wrestling.
And when you have two great personalities, wrestling fans will know, The Rock and Steve Austin. Gosh, you can use anybody with The Rock, and The Rock just carries anything. The thing is, 3 days, and D'Angelo Williams put on this caliber of a sequence. I can only imagine what you would let the guy do in 3 years.
I think he has a talent for it, absolutely.
I think with the fluid ability of his potential moveset, apparently, I mean, he had one of the finest Samoan drops I've ever seen. He just looked like he fit there. I'm not saying he doesn't fit in a backfield. I'm saying that when his time ends in a backfield, maybe between four sides and three ropes, might be a fit.
Yeah.
I could see him there perfectly.
Yeah, and it's a natural kind of transition. One thing is that executives within professional wrestling have always looked for collegiate and former professional football players to make that transition. And I think it just has to do with the physicality and intensity that football players are able to display. And many of them end up becoming great showmen. I mean, you go way back in the day to the big cat Ernie Ladd, formerly, I think, a Dallas Cowboy, I believe. And then Bill Goldberg is another big name that came through. He was one of the Atlanta Falcons. Roman Reigns, actually, I think he was just on a preseason team somewhere. I'm trying to remember. The Vikings keep sticking out, but I may be crossing that even with Brock Lesnar, who got a tryout.
Lesnar. I believe Roman Reigns, Jacksonville Jaguars?
Could be. But regardless, I mean, it's something that it seems like football players have always fit. Refrigerator William Perry was in a battle royal back at, like, WrestleMania 2.
You've had Lawrence Taylor.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Green showed up in the ring for WCW in the mid-90s. I mean, this isn't outside. This isn't anything new to the professional wrestling and professional football connection. So it was kind of cool to see D'Angelo go out there and do his thing. But transitioning from that, he does say the reason, and this must have been in the works for a while, and this could be just something that happened because he hasn't been signed by another team, but it also appears like he's been saying he's been holding out from signing with the team so he can make this appearance, and it's one and done, and now he's ready to play for up to 28 NFL teams, including the Steelers. I don't know who the four were that he left out, but I'm going to assume one of those is probably the Cleveland Browns. But, you know, we're wondering and we were discussing, and this is how D'Angelo came up as part of this, and myself and Mitch being wrestling fans, we wanted to talk a little bit about D-Will and him doing his little curtain call thing in the ring and everything like that. But is there space for him on the Steelers roster? It seems as though everyone's ready to coronate James Conner as the backup to Le'Veon Bell, who still hasn't signed his tag, and I really don't feel like being a broken record today and talking about any contract talks with Bell because we've mentioned it a lot before. So let's just say Bell is signed and playing for 2017, and he's the starter. Who is the backup to Le'Veon Bell?
Who would I like to see it be? D'Angelo Williams. Now, this is taking nothing from James Conner. I think Williams is a fine back. I also think the same as Conner, but I also like D'Angelo's professional experience and his running style. He runs well with this style of offense. Now, realistically, it doesn't seem like the guys behind the front office want to bring Williams back, and that truly saddens me. So the correct answer is James Conner. It seems to me that they are sold on him, they're sold on his ability, and they're ready to run with him. I would love to see D'Angelo make a comeback to this team. He means a lot to this community. He's very big in the area. People love when he's just around. Seems he gets a good public viewing. but also the same goes for James Conner. He's a hometown hero. He overcame Hodgkin's lymphoma. If I'm not mistaken, all ACC Offensive Player of the Year. Great showing for a guy that shouldn't have even seen the field his senior year. I would love to see D'Angelo come back, but right now the obvious choice stands with me as James Conner.
Yeah, I'm not anti D'Angelo Williams whatsoever. I know that one of our contributors and a guest here on the Steel City Underground podcast, Terry Fletcher, is totally infatuated in love, like with D. Will. It's her probably her second most favorite player in any sport anywhere in the world. Ed, Terry, if you're listening to this, I am laying it on thick. We know your number one is Tim Tebow. So, but I won't smite him. But you know what? The guy, I don't know how he continues to do what he does. He's quite amazing in his own right. But with D'Angelo, a lot of people were talking, hey, he's getting older. He's been injury prone. He's been hurt when needed over the last 2 years. But then I kind of see James Conner in the same respect. Like you said, a hometown hero. His jersey's like one of the best-selling jerseys out right now. And the guy really isn't going to see a whole lot of carries. I said, kind of pump the brakes on this whole backup the Bell thing, because there's Le'Veon Bell and then there's just everyone else. But if you had to pick a number two, I don't know. James Conner has been a guy and through whatever adversity he's had, be it injuries and the whole Conner Strong thing, that overcoming all of that in college, he still missed games in college. So you got to hope he's a dependable pro. So even talk of him in the light of being a replacement to Le'Veon Bell, if Bell doesn't have a new contract, let's put it this way. Bell will be franchise tagged at least 2 years, okay? With that much said, I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon, and there's still a whole other draft next year if they feel that Bell won't be a Steeler by, let's say, 2019. So James Conner might not be the future. He could be the backup, but I sure hope he's a guy that's healthy. And I think that the Steelers still had something like this in mind when they brought Nile Davis on board. I know that Nile Davis, they're looking to improve this kick return game. I don't know why for the life of me. I can't say, you know, if you end up with a Tyreek Hill, okay, but it's very rare that kick returns amount to even a hill of beans anymore, unless you have a really crappy return and you penalize yourself worse because of these new rules where you can get the ball on the 25. It's not much of a factor anymore. And we know Mike Tomlin doesn't like to use defensive backs in the return game, so it's usually it has been Fitzgerald, Toussaint, Marcus Wheaton, Kobe Hamilton, Sammy Coates, those type of guys returning kicks. So Nile Davis had done this in Kansas City, but there's some who feel, and it has also been reported and speculated and kind of briefly mentioned throughout the Steelers organization in various press conferences with different members of the staff, Nile Davis could actually see more carries as the number two than James Conner.
I don't know if I'd like that too much, because, like you said, kick returns don't amount to a dime a dozen, but also that's mostly what he did in Kansas City. He showed a little bit of promise in the running back, you know, the running game, but he didn't seem like he was the fit there. I mean, if he was, Spencer Ware would have never been an option. Spencer Ware would have went to the Jaguars. We all know that. We all truly understand that. But being that he's in Pittsburgh now, and we still had the wherewithal to go and draft James Conner, I think they're still stuck behind him. I think that Conner has the team's full attention. You know, they've been promoting him a lot on social medias and, you know, just sales everywhere, jersey sales. Like you said, he's like one of the highest selling jerseys as we speak.
I wonder.
They're really high on him.
I wonder if James Conner, let's say, played for, I don't even want to say Ohio State, let's just say he played for Purdue, and he comes into the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't think he's a top-selling jersey. I think it's just more or less the whole Pittsburgh connection. And having spoken to some of these guys who've played with Pitt, particularly the last guest we had on, tight end Scott Orndorff, who played and was a teammate with James Conner, they certainly had contact with the Steelers, but it's not like they had this – the Steelers had this crazy advantage of – getting all of this inside look at James Conner. Number one, the Steelers got their own thing going on in the fall. They're very busy. I mean, coaches are sleeping on couches, things of that nature. It's a lot of things that go on behind closed doors that people don't realize when it comes to creating a successful football team. Saying that, Pitt does share facilities with the Steelers, but it's like, the Steelers have got their thing going, and the Panthers have got their thing going. They're not, like, having practices together, and there's not all of this other illegal contact and communication going on. They don't have that much more of an advantage over any other team. So I think there is maybe some of that where, okay, he's from Pittsburgh. He obviously would bump into Mike Tomlin or some of the players from time to time, but that's about as far as it goes. They still had to do their homework and their film study and everything else. Now, Nile Davis, as you said, you didn't say Charchandrick West, but he's yet another one besides Spencer Ware, who leapfrogged Nile Davis on the depth chart when Nile Davis actually became a starter for a handful of games for Jamaal Charles several years ago. And then Nile Davis was actually cut, Maybe he was traded to the Green Bay Packers, and the Packers were like running back desperate, and they still kept a wide receiver in their backfield. So there are a few question marks as to whether Nile Davis is really an answer at all and factors into any of this. And really what we're thinking is when we're mentioning James Conner or mentioning Nile Davis, we're already writing off Fitzgerald Toussaint, but Fitzgerald Toussaint has been the number three the last few seasons. He beat out Daryl Richardson last preseason for a roster spot, and he has a little bit of experience, mostly in the postseason, with running the football with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So Fitz could, in fact, be another option there. I don't know whether or not he overtakes Nile Davis. What do you think about that, Mitch? You think there's a chance for Fitzgerald Toussaint to stay on this team?
Fumbleitis is contagious. I think he stays on the team, but I think he holds very true to that low-end roster spot. I think, you know, what you said is very much correct with his professional experience, but he doesn't perform well in costly situations. Or at least I don't think so. I haven't thought so since he stepped foot in the league. I've thought that Pittsburgh could have used a Isaac Redman-style runner in times of need like that. And I thought for a moment in that playoff game against the Denver Broncos, I believe it was.
Yes.
That he could have been that guy, and in a very important drive in the fourth quarter, he's up and loses the ball. You can't afford that in big-time situations. So right now, if you see progression in Fitz, I have no problem with giving him a shot. But if you keep seeing this kind of timid against big hitters attitude, that's not going to cut it with this team. This team's been, you know, hey, we're going to come at you. That's what we pride ourselves on. We're going to come at you, and we are winning, not you. You know, we've always ran you over. You're not running me over. No, that's not my mindset. And right now, he just seems like he's the odd man out of that mindset.
He could be very well, and it's something where you mentioned that one fumble. It probably still looms in a lot of the back of the minds of a lot of fans. I don't know how much that still maybe sits uneasy with coaches or whatnot. Probably something that they just kind of shrugged off. But Nile Davis, that's actually the reason why he got sent packing out of Kansas City. His first year in 2013, he has 70 carries. And out of those 70, he fumbles three times. You doubled, nearly double his carries the following season, 134 carries to 70, and he fumbles seven times, so you nearly double his fumbles as well. If he can't hold on to the ball in the preseason, his job may be the one that's most at risk. But there is one more guy that's getting a little bit of buzz and excitement, in, at least in some of these off-season workouts. He's been talked up on Steelers Nation Radio as well. And when you say his name, a lot of people will go, who? And that's Trey Williams. He was from Texas A&M, and he has bounced around all over the NFL. He's been with the Redskins, the Cowboys, even the Patriots, Dolphins, and the Colts. Now he's with the Steelers, and you've gotten an ESPN alert of some sort in the background there. I guess Trey Williams elicits the SportsCenter notification. So he's a smaller back. He could be a wide receiver or a scat back. This guy is 5'8", 200, and he's much in the mold of like a Chris Rainey or Lerod Stevens-Howling, some of these guys that Todd Haley has tried to bring in before. And he's going to be trying to make his sixth team in about maybe three seasons or so. Yeah, he entered in 2015. He came into the NFL. So it'll be interesting to see if he gets any carries in these exhibition games. I would assume that Bell doesn't get any, and most of it's going to be spread between the rookie Connor, Nile Davis, and Fitz Toussaint. Between those three guys to try and figure out who, in fact, ends up where in the pecking order.
Bouncing around six teams in such a short amount of time, that doesn't usually spell well for roster spots. There are rarities. You know, we see crazy things happen. Who was Antonio Brown when he came in the league? Nobody knew. Who is that name that we don't speak of out of in Michigan? Nobody knew who he was. He ended up being, I don't think he's the greatest of all time. Some other people do. That's an argument for a different day. You know, there are crazy things that happen. And, you know, being that he's gone to so many teams and it hasn't worked out, maybe he has found his home. I'm just saying it's highly unlikely. No one knows. We'll have to see.
Yeah, and I think you were referring to TB, and you didn't mean Terry Bradshaw there, if I caught that correctly.
Yeah, but that was...
Yeah, there's some guys who bounce around. I think Kobe Hamilton's probably the greatest example of that right now as far as a Steeler. I think he played four or five different teams, or at least maybe went back and forth between the same team twice with somebody sandwiched in between. But it is a rarity. It's very difficult to make a roster as it is. There's 90 men on this roster right now. There will be 53 later. I think the biggest thing, though, that the biggest takeaway from all of this is a lot of us are ready to crown James Connor, the backup running back. He may not be. Nile Davis has a lot of experience, but he also needs to hold on to the football. We know Mike Tomlin may get away with it once. If it happens twice, he's going to get yanked. Fitz Toussaint might still have that edge if that happens, but I don't think he leapfrogs. We know who he is. I think he's the number three. You could see if either of those guys struggle behind Connor, you could see D'Angelo Williams back. But I don't think, just based on D'Angelo and his playing time over 2 years, almost all of his carries, all of his snaps, whatever the training camp talk was, two-headed monster, never happened. There was no pro sets. There was no really featuring Bell and Williams in the backfield at the same time. We saw a few gimmicky things like that where I think they still spread Bell out as a wide receiver, and they do that anyhow, regardless if Williams was on the field. He really was getting only a few snaps and maybe a carry here or there. I don't see any – I mean, they didn't even take Bell off the field when he was breaking records, and there was a lot of criticism towards not taking Ben off the field and stuff when you had a big lead. This just isn't the way that the Pittsburgh Steelers operate. So Le'Veon Bell probably going to get the lion's share of carries, 98%. As long as he's healthy and he remains on the field. James Conner, I think a lot of people, they're going to be wearing those jerseys to Heinz Field on Sunday, and they may be a little bit disappointed. And I think that was the thing that we tried to talk about a little bit on one of the past episodes, was you just have to pump your brakes for expectations with some of these rookies. And speaking of that, we're going to be talking about some more of that going forward, but I want to thank Mitch for joining me today, and welcome aboard Steel City Underground.
Thank you very much. And before we go, I just have like a one hypothetical question.
Shoot.
James Conner, third down?
Never know. Never know.
I feel like that's a fine start, maybe.
Could be maybe goal line too. You know, that's an interesting interesting idea, because while Bell could get in there, usually he's a guy that like cuts to the outside. When you really think about some of his touchdowns, he comes across if he comes behind like one of the guards between the guard and the tackle sometimes, you know, Ramon Foster maybe, or Dave DeCastro, or maybe you're going to pull one of those guys too. They create space for him, but I'm talking about like that, you know, third and one. James Conner is a load to deal with, and that guy is just going to come at you, and he is like a bull. So very – I don't know. It's not really that hypothetical when you think about it. I could see that as like a goal line situation, maybe a jumbo package, more than likely. Yeah. What happens? Maybe you put both of those guys back there, and then you split Bell out. Then who covers what?
Or you could go – I'm thinking maybe, oddly enough, Full House – maybe use Conner as the second fullback.
Hey, never know, man. Never know. I mean, now we're
just stretching out, man.
Yeah, we are, and that's just the way it works this time of the year. I can't wait to see some of this stuff actually materialize on the field and in training camp. So I know the questions have been late for our fan mail because, quite frankly, there's just nothing going on yet, but we do have the countdown to camp. If you guys haven't seen that, we've been posting those daily, highlighting a different player, just getting you familiar with some of the statistics, a little rundown on their brief history, and just trying to get you excited for actual football that's going to be coming up in a little under 3 weeks here. So once again, that's Mitchell Reese is my, I guess, co-host today. You don't have all of the fancy introduction thing, but you could follow him on Twitter and follow the rest of us here at Steel City Underground as well. If you have your questions, shoot them over to fanmail@steelcityunderground.com or send us a text at 203-900-4SCU. Until next time, my name's Joe. His name's Mitch. Be safe, be good, and we will catch you later.
We would like to thank you for listening and remind our listeners to follow us on social media and our website, www.steelcityunderground.com.